Blog Talk Radio.
I can't read his mind. His brain's been altered to resist me.
You don't owe anything to them. They manipulated you and then tried to kill you.
So I keep hearing.
From who?
All you need to know is that I will get free.
If that's your final word. I only use this as a last resort. It's going to send you to another dimension.
I clicked on the wrong intro for today. Here's what I was looking for earlier, and I thought I had found it, but apparently I didn't. Here we go.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me is Mr. Jeffrey Sterl. Yeah, I was wondering what that first one was. I didn't know that you redid the intro.
Yeah, I did it several months ago, but we've only used it a couple of times. You know, so I decided
You need to tell me what it's labeled, and I'll put it in as the startup music for the show.
Newest URN intro. That's what it's called.
Cool. I really like the URN deal that you did for it was for the other network until we changed the name of it, you know, and I'm still waiting on you to do a new one because that one was pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know you've been busy, but, you know, since we changed the name of the network, I can't use that one anymore, so I need a new one from you with the new name, because I like that drop that you're listening to, blah, 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 network. But anyway. Do what?
I said, I can do that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I have a DJ drop for Terrify that I did. So, but I don't have one for the network, and I don't have a DJ drop for this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I got Beavis and Butthead involved in the Terrify DJ drop that says you're listening to Terrify Radio.
Nice.
So how was your week?
Long.
Yeah, and you said you went on lockdown.
Yeah, we had a minor, well, not minor, we had a major emergency here in town. Some guy went, I guess he shot his girlfriend or something, so the police called the school and said, hey, lock all your campuses down. We're going after this guy. And the police found him or chased him. And he took his own life before they could arrest him.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
But on the other hand, it gave me an opportunity to reevaluate my emergency procedures at on my campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I put together a teacher emergency kit, and I proposed it to the principal, and they adopted it as, you know, for every campus.
That's good.
Every teacher will have these in their classroom. Yeah, and believe it or not, you know where I learned about this?
What's that?
From San Augustine.
Huh.
Because we did that when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to remember it and put it together, sent it to the principal, and he thought it was great. Took it to the superintendent, and he thought it was great. So yay me, and yay for safety.
There you go.
Just,
well,
call, me, just call me the safety chief.
Well, nowadays it's not just the public schools that are unsafe. Even college campuses are having numerous shootings. So it's getting kind of crazy out there in the world.
Nuts.
Oh yeah, man. You know, I went on a bass fishing tournament yesterday with my dad, and it's always a adventure because dad and I do role reversal, not on purpose. It just happens that way. But now I'm kind of like the father, and he's the son when we're on these trips. And he's doing a lot of the stuff that he used to yell at me about when I was a teenager going fishing with him. Now he does this dumbass stuff, and I have to get on to him. So, yeah, it's always interesting, always an adventure, always crazy shit goes on during these bass tournaments. Yeah. But anyway, it's a good time to have with my father, even though we didn't do the greatest. We caught several fish, but only one of them was a keeper and scored us a measly 1.63 points. 1 pound, 63-ounce fish was all that we scored in points. Everybody else was turning in five fish and scoring anywhere from 10 to 17 points. So, yeah.
Well, the secret is when you catch those fish that aren't keepers, you attach them to your hook, and you use them as the bait.
Well, these fish, you know, the slot limit is 14 inches. Seven out of the eight fish were 13 3/4. One was like an eighth of an inch from being 14. I just wish I could stretch the fish so it would be 14 and be a keeper.
Now, see, imagine how big the fish would be if you use those as bait.
That's true. That's true.
Let's do some saltwater fishing this summer. That needs to happen.
Jody, my co-host on Tuesday night, she went to Florida for a vacation and went fishing off the coast of Florida for sharks.
That's awesome.
I don't know how that went. I'll find out Tuesday when she's back on the show.
Yeah.
But, I had that yesterday, and then last night and today I did the red box thing, and I caught up on a lot of movies that I missed. Watched Bad Grandpa, and that was hilarious. If you're having a bad day, rent that movie because it'll make you laugh. If you've ever liked any of the Jackass stuff, it was hilarious. I watched the movie Escape with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was a pretty cool movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend people. Yeah, you need to watch that. It's a good movie. It's not just action. It's got a little, it makes you think, got a little twist to it.
Yeah.
And in the movie, Arnold and Sylvester get in a little fist fight. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I watched Elysian with Matt Damon. Pretty good movie. And Kick-Ass 2 was a pretty good movie.
I watched all the Rocky movies this weekend.
Oh, cool. Those never get old. I could watch those every time.
No, they don't. They just recently put out an anthology of all six Rocky films on Blu-ray, and I picked that up a couple of weeks ago, and I sat down and started watching them Friday night, and I finished them up last night. So still good. I even like 5. Everybody gives Rocky 5 a bad rep, but I even like that one.
Yeah.
So that's funny. That's a fun thing. I posted on my Facebook last night because I was watching the fifth one, and I just there's one line in there that just I have never liked, and it's towards the end when Rocky and Tommy Gunn are fighting, and Sage Stallone, the kid is playing Rocky's son, actually says, "Knock that bum out. He took my room." And I just want to, you know, whoever thought that was a good line to put in there, I just want to strangle them. That's one of the worst lines ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watch We Are the Millers. Jennifer Aniston still has it going on, let me tell you.
Wow. She certainly does. Hold on. She just texted me, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. A lot of good things going on in the network. Of course, on Mondays is Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show, FAPS, as they call it. Tuesdays is Terrify. And this Tuesday, I'm doing a selfless plug because it is a very cool guest. A good friend of Jody and I's. He was on the show about a year ago. And a lot's happened since then. Mr. Jay Wozley of Ghost Adventures. Not a lot of people knew who Jay was when we interviewed him before. People in the paranormal, a lot of them did. But he was the sound guy behind the scenes, right? He did all the sound for him, and you never saw him on camera. But when we talked to him, he said, hey, they're trying something different. And Billy Tolley and myself are going to be on all the episodes from here on out, you know, and actually be at a home base that they set up. And sure enough, you know, this is the second season that he's been on doing that. So he's actually on the episodes with the guys. Him and Billy watch the audio and video from the DVR system and mics that are set up. So pretty cool stuff. And so Jay's going to come on air with us Tuesday, and we'll talk about what he's been up to. And he's got his own film production, Sunhouse Films, he owns, and he does that too. So lots to talk about with Jay. We'll talk about I just finished watching the Myrtle's Plantation episode from last night. So we'll talk a little Ghost Adventures tomorrow, Tuesday night. So
cool.
And Wednesday's Full Spectrum Radio. Thursday, Project Paranormal Radio has been renamed by its host, Brian. It's now Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio. So that is the new name for Thursday night. Still the same host, Brian. And this Friday, our good buddy Chris Taylor, who had Paranormal Access Radio on Friday nights, he is coming back with a new host. And they air their first episode this Friday night. And they're a little bit, their times differ from all the other shows. They're airing from 9 p.m. Central to 10:30 Central Time on Fridays. And cool. then Saturdays we have the Debunker Boys. So this week, Jeff, we'll have a full 7 days a week, or 7 days of internet radio.
Nice.
Never thought I'd actually fill all the slots, but I finally did. So
right.
There you go.
Well,
but it
cool.
Always starts off, we always start off the new week with this show right here. The original show, Jeff and I started, it'll be 3 years in April, won't it?
3 years in April, yes, sir.
Damn. And people still listen to our show, so that's good. They're not tired of us after 3 years.
Right.
But let's see here. We'll talk about our guest tonight.
Go for it.
Pull it up here. Okay, tonight our guest is Julie Snyder. Julie is the founder of Lewiston Clarkston Paranormal Research Society. The team was founded after Julie and her family experienced terrifying and life-altering paranormal occurrences. There was no one in the area that could or would help. Julie and her team vowed to learn and be available to help people understand the phenomena. With her team members, including her husband and teenage daughter, they have vowed to help anyone, no matter location or situation. Julie is a demonologist and will soon be a member of St. Michael, the Archangel Sacred Order of Exorcists, which is a worldwide order consisting of clergy, doctors, psychologists, and paranormal investigators that are called upon to help people in need. A firm believer in paranormal unity, Julie and her team strive to promote the belief that the paranormal community as a whole can work together as a collective whole in order to promote awareness and further the science. You can reach her anytime, day or night, on Facebook or Twitter at LC Ghost Hunter. And her team's page is www.facebook.com/Lewiston-Clarkston Paranormal Research Society. And I believe our guest is on hold there, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Julie.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Good.
Did you have a good weekend?
Well, it was too short, but yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I always hate Sundays, Sunday evenings, because then it tells me that I have to go back to work on Monday.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I read a little bit about you and your team. Give us the backstory on how you got involved in getting into the paranormal and starting a team.
Well, it started about 13 years ago. My family, we were getting tormented. No matter where we moved, it didn't matter. We had the same thing going on. And the breaker was when I got literally tossed out of bed into a dresser, and I had 9 staples in my head. And, I was like, okay, this is definitely not normal, and we got a problem. So I went searching for help locally here, and I don't know if it's just where we live, we're so cut off from the rest of the world or what, but there was nobody that even wanted to listen to us. So I hit Facebook and started looking for help, and finally we got it, and I was like, all right, I know everybody else is trying to figure out what's going on in their house, so I started learning, and then we decided to form a team. Now we just try and help.
All right. And what part of the U.S. are you in?
Washington State.
Washington State.
Cool.
That's nice. Yeah, we've interviewed just about, well, we're getting close, Jeff, I think, to interviewing people from almost every state. We haven't hit Hawaii yet, but we did do Alaska. But but it's interesting talking to different people in different parts of the country. And, you know, I can definitely know what it feels like to be thrown. I was thrown out of a room during an investigation. So, yeah, I understand.
Well, yeah, and it's definitely a wake-up call, especially, you know, my whole life I was taught that kind of stuff doesn't happen, and there's always a logical explanation for it and all that, and, you know, and then I've even been asked, they're like, well, you know, were you asleep? Okay, no, I didn't fall out of bed. There's a difference, okay? I was perfectly awake, sitting native style on the bed, and then I was launched. So there's quite a difference there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So in your experiences, and I read in there that you also are into the demonology side of the paranormal.
Yes, I am.
What made you decide to get into that part? Was it from your personal experiences that one of you wanted to learn more about that side?
Well, it really was. You know, by the time all was said and done, there was a demonic attachment to my husband. Actually, there was more than one, but something he had picked up in his youth from hanging around with people dabbling in the dark arts, whatever, you know, and it had followed him his whole life. And seeing your husband do crazy things that are not, I guess, normally possible, you know, they're like head turning around and just, I don't know, it was crazy. It's almost like out of a movie. And I can't really, you know, I have no proof. I didn't videotape anything, but it's crazy. So I don't really want to go into a whole lot of it because I've had people call me up out of the blue and be like, oh, by the way, you're full of crap.
Well, they're more than welcome to call me every time I tell my stories of the evil that I've come across in being in this field, and they can call BS on me all they want. And I'm sorry, but the stuff that I experienced, it's not out of a movie. It's the real deal. Jeff's witnessed some of it, and, you know, I got plenty of witnesses on different things that I've experienced. So, you know, I just look at
the panorama.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, it got to the point where it was so bad that anybody that would come over to visit us, you know, no matter who it was, friends, family, the maintenance guy, whatever, as soon as they'd walk into our house, they'd start getting physically ill. I mean, headaches, nauseous, paranoid. And I was like, wow, you know, did we just suck that bad? I didn't know what was going on. Well, we had some really just not nice things that didn't want anybody here.
Oh, yeah. And I've explained to clients before for background for you, so you kind of know a little bit about Jeff and I. Jeff and I are from East Texas, and East Texas is the Bible Belt region. It's pretty bad over here as far as the number of churches that are in every town. And I don't knock church. It's just the fact that there's a lot of them, and all different beliefs and belief systems. And, so when you try to explain to someone that has been taught a certain way growing up and taught by their pastor in church or priest or whatever it might be, this is the way certain things are, and then when they don't apply to what they've been taught, they don't understand. They're just like, there's no way that this could be happening. And I'm like, well, you called me, so apparently it is, you know. And so it's tough. It's tough. And I try to explain to them in a real simple way of doing it. I said, have you ever walked into two people arguing, like walk into a room where there's been an argument? You can feel the energy. You can feel that something's not right, you know. Us as humans can change the energy in a room.
Well, yeah, exactly, you know. And if you're laying in bed with your loved one at night and you can feel something crawl between you and your loved one and there's only like an inch of space there, that's a really skinny human to be doing that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I like I said, I've seen everything from me being tossed to possession, a full-blooded demonic possession. I've seen, I saw a child getting scratches. The scratches appeared on his back as we were, we brought in a demonologist, and as he was getting ready to do his ceremony, it attacked the teenager that was involved, and I sat there and watched his back just get, it looked like Freddy Krueger out of Nightmare on Elm Street was slicing his back up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and you know, the thing of it is no matter what your belief on paranormal, I mean, if you're a skeptic, you know, whatever, you know, or you think you've seen everything, there's always going to be something that just blows your mind.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, we've already seen, experienced the pretty much the worst that I want to do at this moment. You know,
yeah.
not a whole lot surprises me, but I know it can always get worse.
Oh, yeah. You know, it, even on just regular investigations, you know, where, which a lot of people don't understand when it comes to paranormal teams, they're self-funded. Everybody funds themselves, right? And most of the locations that, you know, unless you're lucky and you know that you're in good with the community, you can get in some cool locations and not have to pay a dime. But in today's society, and especially with these historical buildings, the only way that they can keep that building from getting knocked down and able to remodel it and whatnot is charge paranormal teams to get in. So when you go on a normal investigation, you know, you still get surprised. These spirits do crazy things, and you're just like, holy cow, how do they do that, you know?
Well, yeah, that's it, you know, and I kind of, I don't really know how to say it. I do respect people that have been doing this a long time. I mean, I do. I know that, like, some 20, 30 years, they have to know what they're doing, and then you get kind of like almost the, well, I don't really care about what's happening. I just want to go out and snap all the pictures I can and get the evidence, throw it on the internet type people. I'm sitting back going, I don't want to do that. You know, that's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of different from some other people apparently, because I don't feel that I should have to prove anything to anybody. Now, if they come to me and be like, hey, have you ever seen this or caught anything like this? I'd be like, hey, yeah, sure, and share. But I think that it's kind of got into a big old peeing contest or something, you know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I got to the point with my team that I didn't put anything on the internet, but I shared some of the really weird stuff that we had gotten. I'd share it with some of my friends in the paranormal, you know, and say, dude, check this out. This is really weird, you know, and I'll share stuff on the radio with other people in the field. But as far as just putting it out there, I remember one time I put a photo out there, and I knew for the most part that it wasn't paranormal, but I wanted to make sure. So I just wanted somebody's opinion. I didn't say underneath the picture, hey, this is a picture of a spirit, or this is this, that, or another. I just, my quote was, tell me what you think about this picture, if there's anything in it I need to know about, right? So I put it up, and they started ripping my ass. Oh, this, that, it's orb, this, that, another. What it was a picture of a theater that we investigated, and in the balcony, it looked like the shape of a person sitting in a chair. But at the same time, I could also see that it looked like two orbs stacked up on top of one another, right? So you could do a little bit of matrixing there. So I just wanted some fresh eyes that don't know anything about the place to see what their opinion was, you know? I never claimed it was actual evidence, and boy, did I get ripped for it. And I was just like, y'all don't even read what I put underneath the picture. You know, I just ask for what you think you see in the picture, not tell me that I put up bad evidence. I just wanted somebody's opinion, you know. So after that, I stopped doing it.
Well, you know, that's it. And I thought that we were all supposed to be working towards the same goal of proving either life after death or that things exist or, you know, whatever people are doing. And
yeah.
It's just, it seems like everybody wants to be on TV. They want to have, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, so many years ago, you couldn't find psychic medium one. Now, it's like Facebook is crawling with psychics and mediums. And you know, that's cool. If that's what they are, I respect it. But I don't know. I don't claim to be an astrophysicist. I would never put that out there like that, you know.
Right, right. And, you know, there are a lot of, even just investigators themselves. I tell clients all the time, you know, you do your research on whatever team you're going to bring in, you know, because there's a lot of teams that are in it for the wrong reasons. They're weekend warriors in the sense that they just want to go out and have a little fun, collect and try to get some really cool evidence, and that's it. You know, they don't put any effort into studying the field, coming up with new theories, new ideas, you know, try new things, you know, and that's fine. But then there's teams out there that say, oh, we're a scientific team. And I say it all the time on the radio. You're not scientific if you walk around with all the latest gadgets, you walk around with a K2 meter or whatever else, metal meter. Just walking around with a piece of equipment does not qualify you as scientific. I'm sorry, that doesn't work that way. You know?
Exactly. You know, and I mean, we use some equipment, but I mean, what we have is basic. You know, I'm not...
Yeah.
We're still working that up, you know. We're not sponsored, none of that, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I'm not going to run out and spend a small fortune on the newest whatever by whoever if what I'm using now works, you know. So it's I don't know, people are like, oh, well, you know, I got this with FLIR. Well, good for you, but that's like
$2,000. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and it's just wow.
Oh yeah, and see what people don't realize with the technology when it's great. I got all I got tons of gadgets, but I don't pull all of them out, and I don't use every piece of equipment and say it's evidence. Right? I try different experiments using the pieces of equipment to not only try to gather evidence, but to also debunk or say this piece of equipment's a piece of crap, you know, that kind of stuff. And I don't know, people in the paranormal field, like you said earlier, I wish they would be more open-minded, they would be more acceptable to working together instead of bashing one another. Because all that does, that just puts us in a pause in the field, you know, or puts us two steps backwards. And we should be in the common goal of trying to further the field, you know. But a lot of teams don't.
Well,
there are a lot of teams out there.
That's it, you know. I don't understand what all the drama is about. I mean, is there just not enough spirits to go around? I mean, is it a territorial war? I don't understand the drama. I really don't. What is so bad you got to fight and bash people and, you know, stuff like that? I mean, here where I'm at, there was this, I don't want to call them a team because they were more like a collective group of flunkies. But anyway, actually, when I started up my team, they said, well, you know, you can't do your meetings at the park because that's where, you know, that's our park. And I said, really? Well, wow, hey, you know, that's a public place. You don't own it, one, so, you know, get bent, basically. Well, needless to say, I ended up filing freaking restraining order on this crazy chick because she started threatening my kid, you know, stuff like that. Saying she was going to ruin me. I was like, look, you know where I live. I gave you my address. Come over and we'll talk about it. So, needless to say, they are no more. I'm not heartbroken about it.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff and I understand the whole drama in the paranormal community all quite well. But needless to say, no one out there can control what you do as an individual and what you and your team do. You can do whatever you want. There's no guidelines in the paranormal. There's no rule book, you know. And that's the thing. All these people, if you're listening, all you people out there that sit behind the computer and bash everybody out there and try to ruin people's reputations, if you would take that energy and put it into your team or into what you do, you would be more successful. And us as a paranormal field would be further along. Take that energy and use it for something good instead of something bad. You know? And that's my public service announcement for tonight.
Thank you. I will beg people to do that. Please.
Yeah. So, since you're in Washington State, what are some cool places there that you guys have been to and investigated?
Well, we did, the Old Idaho Penitentiary in Boise. We did that one. We're still, you know, working on doing some of the bigger places. Where we're at, like literally as far east in Washington you can get, that's where we're at. We're, I don't know, 100 yards away from Idaho across the river. So there really isn't a whole lot of big, cool places here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that's okay because I kind of prefer low-key stuff like that. But we're working on some stuff. We want to do a trip over to do the Shanghai tunnels, but we're going to meet a couple other teams over there to do it. You know, I'm really looking forward to working with other people, like hands-on working with other people.
Yeah. I mean, because when you work with other teams, you can give them ideas, and they'll give you ideas back, and that's what it's about. Many times on this show, that's why I love doing the radio, because it's kind of like paranormal college for me. 2 hours, well, actually four, because I do another show. 4 hours a week, I talk paranormal with people from across the country. I share my ideas, they share them back, and, you know, it's a knowledge, I love gaining knowledge, and that's the way it should be, you know. I've learned things, I've changed the way some of the things I do in my team because of ideas from other people in the field, and I've given them ideas on different techniques and different things, and it's worked out, you know. And what's sad is you kind of go back on earlier, you kind of have to pick and choose who you're friends with in the field and have a little bit of trust in who you pick, because there are so many that backstab you, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's a good point. And there's some people in the field that are big name whatever. I'm not saying the paracelebs necessarily, but big name whatevers, and they're just as fake as a $4 bill.
Yeah.
You know,
they
fake things. It's been proven that they fake things, but yet they're still going like gangbusters. People follow that like they don't have their own mind. I don't understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, that's why that's why when I do the show and when I try to get guests on the show, I have a few people that, you know, are higher up in the paranormal community popularity-wise that I'm friends with, and they're good people. But majority of the folks that I get to come on the radio are just, you know, just like us, just paranormal investigators that try to help people, you know, because those are the people that are in the trenches. Those are the ones making numerous phone calls back and forth with their clients and trying to help people and doing it for free, and putting all this time and effort into helping people, you know, and don't ask for a dime. Those are the people that, to me, are the strength of the paranormal field.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me up just terrified, you know, and wanting to know what's going on. And I'll drive, you know, 3-4 hours to get to their house because, you know, they had a minister or priest come in and tell them they had a demon. You know, so they're calling me up just freaking terrified. And I was like, all right, so I'll be there. You know, I get over there. Is there nothing there? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even want to begin to guess what the minister was thinking, but okay, whatever. And a lot of my job is just counseling people. Just to say, hey, you know, calm down, because one, fear will do a lot of things to you.
Mm-hmm.
It really will. You know, you're scaring the hell out of your kids because they're seeing you freak out. Calm down. Let's try and, you know, work this out. And I love that. That's my favorite part, is to actually get the satisfaction of somebody saying, hey, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to explain this to me and not scare me. And that's what
mm-hmm.
I like.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize when they say, oh, I'm going to start a paranormal team or I'm going to do this or that. There's a lot of roles that you play, especially if you're the founder or co-founder of a group, you know, or the case manager, because you're in constant contact with clients. And you're not necessarily always the paranormal investigator. You're an advisor. You're a counselor, you know. You got to help these people get through their problems, you know, and sometimes I've had to shed light on some of the things that the family as a whole needs to work on in order to move forward and not have issues in the future, you know. And that's just what it is. It's really helping people, you know, because like you said, I get them all the time. They'll call me, and you would think Satan himself is standing in their living room, you know, with the amount of stuff they're telling me that's going on. And I have to calm them down, you know, and I have to ask them lots of questions. And a lot of times they embellish some of the activity, you know, they make it sound worse than it really is because of the fear that's in them at that point. And you got to calm them down first before you can really find out what's going on. And, You know, sometimes it doesn't end in a happy ending. I've had to drop a case before because, the one I was talking about was a teenage boy. We got him help. We got rid of the demonic attachment, and 3 days later, the boy called it back. So what do you do in that situation? You have to walk away because the kid didn't get it. The kid didn't get it, and he invited it back in. And when somebody does that, there's no help for him. You know, you wish him the best, and you have to move on.
Well, that's it. You know, otherwise you're just going to be beating your head off of a wall, and it's not going to help.
No. You know, and recently, Jeff and I and another member, it was the night before Thanksgiving, and we visited a home, and the activity was so bad, and the amount of stuff that had gone on that land in the history, you know, it was like a kamikaze of all different kinds of things, Native Americans, satanic worship, the whole nine yards, and it was a rental house. It wasn't like they owned the house, and they had just moved there like 2 months, or lived there like 2 months, and I finally had to tell the lady, you know, the best thing for you and your family is to move because the owner of the property that's renting the home didn't want to have anything to do with the paranormal. Well, that's the person that, because they own the land and the rules, the way the paranormal works, the owner has to be the one to, you know, want to get help to clear the land. And he didn't want any part of it. And I said, well, as long as he's going to be like that, you know, I feel bad for anybody that rents that house because there's no help, you know. And I called in a lot of different people that I know in the field, and they agreed with me the best thing for that family was to move. So they moved, and no more activity, you know. They're living a good life now. So sometimes it happens that way, too.
But that's a happy ending. At least they were able to move out, and they don't still have, you know, things hanging around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have you ever had somebody call you up and you know, in the first few sentences they ask you how much you charge?
Yes, I have. And I said, charge for what? You know, because I didn't know what it was about at first. You know, I thought they got me mixed up with, like, somebody else. I'm like, charge for what? They're like, oh, well, you know, I need you to come out and do an investigation. I said, well, first, where do you live? You know, because I feel calls for, you know, cases that I could never get to, like East Coast or wherever. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we live, you know, here. And I'm like, I won't charge you. You know, I won't charge you anything. And they're like, really? I guess they've been quoted a couple, $200-$300 by somebody else. It's like, that's wow. Talk about unethical.
Well, last year we come across a photo of an advertisement for a paranormal group that they had put on their back of their van, and it said something about charging. So we looked into it further, found the group website and whatnot. Unfortunately, they're in Texas, so I feel shame for the fact that they're in my state. But, they charged, I believe it was $400 to come and investigate, and no guarantee that they would fix the problem. Right, and I'm just sitting here going, well, I want a money back guarantee. If you don't fix the problem, I want my money back. You know, two, they put on an EVP class. You could pay $200 for a 2-day course, and they would guarantee you by the end of the course that you would be able to catch EVPs and not just words, but full sentences. And I'm like, okay, they're going to charge me $200. Look, I can tell any of you folks out in the paranormal field how to catch EVPs, you know? But at the same sense, everybody is different personality-wise. And the spirits know your personality. They know everything about you before you walk in that door. If they want to talk to you, they'll talk to you. If they don't, they won't talk to you. So it don't matter what you know, you're an EVP expert. They're people, majority of the time. If you're not dealing with inhuman spirits, you're dealing with people that have lived on this earth and passed away. They pick and choose who they want to talk to because that's the way we all are in real life. You know, not everybody's with their personalities want to talk to Joe Blow that walks past me at Walmart, you know? So that's just how it works.
Right, exactly.
but they were
See, and that's my problem with people that try to charge for investigations. Like, you can charge somebody to, you know, go in and fix their toilet if it's clogged, okay? Because you can guarantee it'll be unclogged when you leave. But for us to go in and try and help somebody, you know, with their whatever's going on, I can't guarantee that I would be able to 100% help them. You know, I mean, I can guarantee I would try if I couldn't to find somebody that could, but that isn't going to help them in the meantime.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure you've come across these type of clients as well that they're so scared and so fearful. And when you do go over that first time, and you do a consultation with them, you know, kind of interview them, get all your info, do an investigation. You know, they're wanting you to get rid of whatever's there right then and there. And I said, look, I'm not an exterminator. I don't come in here and spray a magic dust that's going to eliminate a ghost. You know, it doesn't work that way. I said
I can give you techniques.
I can tell you different things to do that try to help the situation out, try to calm things down for the time being. I said, but it's like a puzzle. I said, we have to backtrack and we have to find all these bits of pieces of information, find the source of why that spirit is there in order to figure out how to get the spirit to either move on or get out or whatever it might be, depending on the spirit. I said, but it's like kind of like a police investigation. We have to put all the parts together before we can do anything.
Well, exactly. You know, and I don't know if sometimes they're getting the wrong idea by maybe some of the shows on TV or what. You know, I think they think that the investigation, everything happens in the same day. And, you know, that looks great on TV. That's not how it works. You know, research takes a long time, and you all know that. And you all know the deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people that I swear, have you ever had to go to an investigation and you know for a fact that the reason why you're there is because Well, it looked good on TV, and I want attention. So I'm going to call a team out.
Yep. Yeah, I've had a few that's called me and threw my questioning on the phone. I knew they were full of shit, and I didn't even go as far as to contact my team and go through the whole rigmarole of even going out there. I just knew from my knowledge, you know, and my experiences with clients, whether or not they were legitimately having a problem or they were pulling my chain. Because one thing that I did prior to doing the paranormal, I was a school teacher. So I dealt with parents. I dealt with kids, you know. So I've heard every lie in the book. And Jeff knows, because Jeff's still a school teacher. And when you deal with people on a day-to-day basis and you hear every lie and every fib, you know how to call their bluff on things, you know?
Well, I admire that, because I can't do that over the phone. If I'm looking at them face-to-face and they're looking, you know, like up and around and everywhere else, picking out their story, well, that's, you know, that's kind of telltale, but over the phone, it's a little harder for me.
Well, you know, you kind of have to, plus we, Jeff and myself, we have theater degrees, so we're trained in listening very closely to other people, because we had to do that on stage when we were acting, and I can tell through somebody's voice, if they're legitimately sincere about what, you know, being scared or whatever it might be, I can tell it, you know. I can tell somebody's extremely scared. But in the same sense, I also ask them a few questions that will either tell me that they're making it up or something else is going on, whatnot. And yes, there has been times that I've gone out there with one or two members of the team, but we didn't investigate. We went out there to verify what I was already feeling, and of course, I was right because my gut was telling me. But I would say 99% of the time, it's somebody that's got some kind of issue, you know, some kind of paranormal problem. A lot of times, though, they're not as extreme as they tell you on the phone, you know. And I've had to be blood honest with a couple clients and really get on their butt, because they were calling me up. They, you know, after we get rid of what's in the home, they're calling me up because they hear, you know, every little ping and bang that their house makes, and they're like, oh, it's back. And I said, really? I said, number one, it would be doing the same, you know, it'd be doing some crazy stuff like it was doing before. I said, is it doing anything that it did before? No, I'm just hearing these little noises here and there. I said, well, you thinking about it and thinking it's this entity, you're going to call it back in. I said, it's not there, you know. And one client said that the entity was back because she fell on her front porch, said that she got pushed. Well, I know with her medical condition, she's not got good balance, and she falls all the time. So I had to get on to her and say, look, quit thinking that entity is back, because I guarantee you it's not, but it will be if you keep talking about it. And ever since then, no more activity. Sometimes you have to give them tough love.
Well, oh yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, when we go into a residence, we tell them straight out, if there's any signs of child abuse, you're going to get reported. You know, if there's, we have to tell them that. You know, I'm not going to go in and be like, oh yeah, you know, we're not going to say anything to anybody. You know, if they're beating the hell out of their kids, that's kind of our job too. You know, I'm not just going to go in and try to find ghosts and all that. If there's a problem, then them kids need help. Kids are my weak spot. Somebody calls me up and says something's terrorizing their kids, I'm on it. Like, I don't care, I'm on it. So.
Oh, definitely. That takes priority. Usually if somebody calls me about a child, usually I try to make it out to their home either that day or the next day, if I can, depending on, you know, my work schedule and whatnot. But yeah, I definitely have a – I don't have, I have a zero tolerance for spirits tormenting kids because that's uncalled for. They're just picking on them because they're open and they can see them. And, you know, that – I don't know. I just I it just makes me very angry when a spirit messes with a child.
Well, for sure, you know, and I've had people ask me, why does it always pick on kids? Well, it doesn't always pick on kids, but kids, you know, especially young ones, are open, wide open to that, and spirits know it, and they push that button just because they can. They want the attention. They need that to, you know, thrive, so, hey, why not?
Exactly. You know, it's just one of those things that, yeah, I talked to one of my good friends in the field, and I asked him, I said, so what's one of your horror stories about, you know, helping a client? And he said, well, we drove way out in the country, you know, it was like a scene out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre or any one of those horror movies where you go way out in the wooded area with a house. And you walk in, and they had a crack pipe laying there on the coffee table. That's when he said, sorry, we can't help you, and just turned around and took his team and left.
Yeah, I know. I've had to ask people before, well, how long has it been since you slept? You know, because you're seeing all this stuff, and I can tell that, you know, you're not – you know, you're hopped up on something. They look at me like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm not an idiot. I don't have a degree in, like, everything, but I'm not, you know, completely dumb either. Unfortunately, where I'm at, there's a really high drug use, especially meth, and it just, ugh, horrible drug.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Kind of like poor Colorado. Now that they're they've legalized marijuana, there are people going, yeah, I'm really seeing some really crazy shit going on in my house. I got Funyuns that float around the house now.
yeah, I'd almost head out there to see that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
wow.
No offense, Colorado. I'm just making fun. But anyway.
Well, Washington did it too, so hey.
Yeah, I know.
They legalized it too.
Yeah. But, you know, there are a lot of people that that worry about the fame and fortune, not only in the paranormal teams, but even clients, you know, they want to be on my ghost story or this, that, another. And what's funny, I haven't had any clients on any show, but I've been to several places that had never been on TV before. And then after I investigated the place, they were on television. And I just thought it was funny because what they were telling on television was not what they told us. And it wasn't what we experienced.
Oh,
and, you know, and I'm just like, really, really, you know, come on, guys.
Yeah, it saddens me, you know, that happens. Not only that, but some of these places charge just thousands of dollars to have a team in there. It's like, really? You know, I couldn't come up with that in a long time. You know, my team, there's only four of us. So, combined income alone, there's no way I'm paying that much money just to, you know, go check it out. You know, stampede to a place where there's been thousands of people, why would I want to do that?
Right. You know, we took a road trip, and and it was all on based on what we had heard, but Jeff and I and the rest of the team, we drove all the way to Tennessee, and we went to Old South Fitchburg Hospital. And, you know, it's completely set up as a paranormal lab, pretty much. And so we were like, man, we're rolling the dice, taking a 13-hour drive to this location for the weekend, you know, because we rented it out. But I'll tell you what, that place did produce. We had activity started probably 20 minutes into us walking into the building. So, and that was in broad daylight. So, pretty interesting place.
Well, you know, I mean, if the place is just proven time after time after time, like, it doesn't matter who you are. If you go there, you get results every time, then, yeah, that would be worth it. But some of these places that claim to be extremely haunted, and I just feel in my gut they're no way close,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you there, you know. And we were fortunate enough to investigate a lot of things around our area that a paranormal team had never stepped foot into. And we got some really crazy activity, you know, some really good stuff. And that always makes you feel good because that's uncharted territory for a paranormal investigator, and it'll be the first team in there. And actually walk out with some pretty cool stuff, you know. You know, just like, well, our gut worked on that one. We thought it was haunted by looking at it from the outside, but we weren't sure, and, you know, it worked out. We didn't have to pay a dime either, you know. Love those kind of locations.
Hey, that's a win-win for y'all.
Exactly.
Well, there's not a whole lot of haunted attractions here, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of cool places that I want to check out that nobody knows about, but
yeah.
Right now, not the time. I'm busy building up. I'm pretty busy. I'll do residentials if needed or field questions, whatever, but right now I'm not trying to just run out and see what I can capture, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think the last, well, we've kind of gone back to the basics. We had a falling out, like most teams do, with members on the team, and we had some issues with certain people in the field, and we got tired of all that, so we just decided to drop off the public eye map and pulled our website down, everything, And even on the radio show, we really don't advertise our team or any of that stuff anymore. We kind of took a sabbatical, and we went back to the basics. You know, our team's real small now. It used to be real big, and we just get together every now and then, and we go on a little ghost hunt. We'll check out a creepy-ass cemetery or something, and just be around each other and do a little investigating, and we don't have to worry about people worrying about what we're doing or where we're at or any of that. So it's been kind of nice, and I still get calls every now and then from clients. So, hey, I can still do my thing, you know, regardless of what people out there think of me or members of the team. So well, that's where we're at. I know Jeff
well,
and I know Jeff and I and my dad's on my team too, so that's a different and I know you got family members on your team as well, your husband and your daughter. And it's always interesting to work with members of your family. I know when we're on an investigation, I'm the founder, you know, and I have to get on my dad a few times about getting things done.
So, yeah, crack the whip once in a while, huh?
Oh, yeah, you know. And but, yeah, Jeff, I need to get on going over that evidence. Jeff and I and Dad, 4th of July weekend, we just decided to take a little road trip. And I guess people around here, they just think, you know, if you drive 30 minutes, that's just a lot of driving, you know. And we're on the east side of Texas, so we drove to Vicksburg, Mississippi, which is two states over. You know, it's on the other side of Louisiana, but it's only 3.5 hours from my house, which people don't realize, you know. So 3.5 hours, that's like driving to Dallas-Fort Worth area for us. And So we went there and we took a tour of the battlefield because I've been to the Vicksburg. I've been to a lot of Civil War battlefields, but I've never been since I've done the paranormal. So we walked around the broad daylight. I had a K2 meter and did a lot of EVP work, and I got to get on that evidence and see if we picked up anything at the battlefield.
Well, hey, you know, that's cool that you guys can drive that far away, and it's, you know, it seems like a long distance. It's really not, you know, I guess you said it's only like 3 hours. You know, here, if we want to go to any town of size, it's at least 3 hours, and that's only to Spokane. So, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, and people think, I don't know why, I guess because of the television, they've been brainwashed that paranormal activity only happens when either, A, the lights are off or it's dark outside. And that's not the case. They don't have a time clock over there on the paranormal, on the spirit side. They'll do things whenever the hell they feel like it. You know?
That's right. Whether you're there to catch it or not.
Oh yeah. You know, there's been times I've gone to a client's home and nothing's happened. I knew there was something there, but they were the spirits were kind of like, uh-oh. You know, we're caught, you know. So it's like they don't want to say anything on the EVP recorder. They don't want to do anything. We walk out, 30 minutes later, my phone rings, and all hell's broke loose at their house, you know. So it's not like the spirits are intelligent, you know. They know you're there.
And they know why you're there.
Yep. Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know. See, I am the only member of my team that isn't intuitive, I guess you'd say. The husband and the daughter and our co-founder, they've all got this thing going for them. And they can hear, well, my husband especially, he can hear things talking that, like, I couldn't even hear if I had a recorder going, but he'll hear it in real time. I'm like, what are you talking about? Play it back, sure enough. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm like, dang, you know, Mr. Sonic Ears over here. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I get growls, he gets words, and I'm like, well, fine.
Exactly. So in investigating whether it's just a historical place or a client, what's some of the more interesting things that have happened to you and your team, you know, as far as paranormal experiences? Something that you walked out of there going, something, whatever's happened to you, you walk out of there going, how in the hell did that happen?
Well, you know, I I'm the resident skeptic, so I'm always trying to figure out why that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a good thing, but it drives my team crazy. They're like, no, we're here to do this, and you're like trying to figure it out, like, you know, you're all smart and stuff. I'm like, no, but okay, seriously? And so, you know, you see a flat rock, like flat, start rolling down a hill. And I'm looking around going, okay, was there an animal? You know, and they're sitting there looking at me going, we watched it start moving. I was like, well, I didn't see it. You know, it ticks them off. I've had things thrown at me. I don't know. I've had things just, I've left an investigation early because I had such a bad migraine, I couldn't even see. I don't know if it was hitting me in the head or what. I don't know what the heck was going on. You know, I've had seizures because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't realize that when you get involved in the paranormal, it can affect you in your personal life, you know, not only from the actual people that are alive in the world, a.k.a. paranormal teams, but it can actually affect your health and affect how you are from the spirit side of things, because they can affect a lot of things. I've seen people that, you know, are happy-go-lucky people They're in a good mood, and in a split second, they turn into just angry and all get out and want to beat your ass, you know? And, you know, and then you take them outside and let them calm down and let them get their feet on it, and they're just like, how in the hell did I just get mad all of a sudden? That was weird, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And they have no freaking idea what the heck just happened.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. Have you guys ever had anything hitchhike home with you?
Oh yeah, I have a roommate, spirit roommate. He decided to follow me. Yeah, I'm talking about you if you're over there in the hallway. We investigated the Allen House, which that's one of the locations I was talking about. They were on Ghost Hunters here a while back. They're great people, though. They have a very haunted home, and they know it. They've done a lot of research, and they found out a lot of things in the history about, you know, the people, the spirits that are there. In fact, to this day, that's the most active location we have gone to as far as evidence. We ended up with 216 EVPs from that place. And that's after we threw out about another 200. I mean, these spirits were talking the entire time we were there, nonstop.
Wow.
And they were, you know, there were spirits there making fun of Jeff, making fun of the team, you know, just, and it was not just one spirit, it was multiple spirits, different voices on the EVP recorder. And then we had 60 of them were Class A. I mean, just, I didn't have to enhance one bit. You hear it, and you're like, whoa. But, yeah, this one guy, that he passed away in his 40s, but his best memories was being a child in that home, and he decided to come home with me. And, you know, I've had friends, former team members and current team members that have gifts and can see spirits, and they always go, there's a little boy standing in your hallway, and they'll describe him like, you know who that is? And they're like, yep, that's, what's his name from, Allen House? And I was like, yep. So he appears as a little boy. That's his appearance to everybody, but he talks like a 43-year-old. It's really weird. But, yeah, he's here. And I asked I do that all the time when I get a psychic on the show, because it's one way to test them. I have, if they really legitimately have an ability, is I have them read my house. And they've all, the ones that are legitimate, they've read it to a T. They describe him, where he's from, how he died, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, yep, that's him. I always jokingly say I wish he could pay rent or do the dishes or something, you know. That would be great. But he doesn't bother me.
Exactly.
He doesn't bother me. He's a practical joker, and they said that I broke his attachment to the house, and he latched on to me because he liked my energy and that I'm a fun person to be around. So he just kind of chills here. Doesn't give me any problems. I've saged the house. I've cleansed it many times. He's still here. Yeah. So whatever. It's cool.
Well. If it's not hurting anybody and you don't mind, well, there you go. You got a friend.
Yeah. Now, we've had some, you know, not so nice things come and try to torment our ass, and we've had to put them in check and give them an eviction notice. But yeah, you know, you got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Even when you take all the precautions like we do, we say a prayer before and after an investigation. And we tell the spirits, you know, to stay there. Jeff normally does the prayer for us. And, yeah, they'll still say, hey, I'm coming home with you tonight, you know. But
oh, yeah.
Needless to say,
well, those
we're
nasty ones, they...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Those nasty ones, especially... the ones that never were human, they don't listen very well. They kind of do what they damn well please. So you got to get really forceful on that one.
Yeah, with with them, I try to tell clients, I tell people all the time, when you're dealing with the demonic, you have to treat the entity as like a teenager. Because I've taught teenagers for a long time, and they get to an age where they get to that know-it-all stage, and they won't listen, and they kind of act out. And that's the way these things do. They always, for the most part, now each one's a little bit different, and some of them, there's different classifications, you know, as you well know, different levels.
Mm-hmm.
But they all kind of have a little pattern about them. You know, things that they will do in a home that kind of throw a red flag up that, yeah, they do have a demonic entity in the home. Those are the things I listen for when somebody's talking to me, you know, because 100% of the time, if there's certain things going on, well, I won't say 100% because there was one case. So 99.9%. Majority of the time when there's certain things going on in a home, I can pretty much tell them. Well, I don't tell them then. I get evidence because I want to show them, you know. I want to say, look, this is what you got. But in my mind, I already know how to prepare and deal with those type of cases because, I told Jeff on one occasion, you know, he was having a horrible time in his personal life and was down. And I said, dude, you don't need to go on this case, you know, because you're having personal problems. This entity will pick that off and will be on your ass. So, you know, you kind of have to leave your personal life behind when you go into these evil type cases because they'll target your ass.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, some of my friends, my mentors for demonology, you know, they do this daily. They battle these things daily, and I've seen the toll that it's taken on them. You know, quite a few of them have these really messed up medical problems, but yet there's no medical reason for it. You know, the doctors can't figure it out. Well, I can, you know. It's not pretty, you know, and I just wish the whole field would be more responsible in warning the general public that this is not a game.
Yeah.
It can be fun, but there are inherent risks that you take every time, you know, and are you willing to put yourself, your family, your team in that jeopardy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have several friends that are demonologists or they're clergy involved in demonology-type cases. And they're in a constant battle, and they're just their regular everyday lives with these things screwing with them and health issues and this, that, and other, you know. That's kind of like how Ryan Buell of Paranormal State, he's had so many issues health-wise, you know, and he dealt with a lot of those type cases with him and Chip Coffee. And, you know, that kind of stuff happens. People got to be careful.
Exactly. Exactly. And once, if you've ever had a demonic attachment or, you know, possession, even if you get rid of it, it will come back. It knows its way in. And if you're not diligent, it will come back. It will screw with you, your mind, your family, everything. It will tear you down. You know, I've been asked many times, are you sure you want to do this field? Well, yeah, you know, I watched it almost tear my family apart for years. Yeah, but are you sure you want to do this? You know, I've been asked that probably 10 times, and I'm still saying yeah. So let's do it, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know, it takes a special person to want to do it, you know the risk, but the ultimate goal and the ultimate reward is to help, even if you could help one person, you know, have a better life and to understand what the heck's tormenting them and their family, you know, that's what it's all about. That's why people say all the time, well, why you do all this, you spend all this money and gas and time and but you don't charge. And I said the ultimate reward is when you can talk to that client after everything that's been going on and they're doing good in their life now. You know, that's my reward. You know, I made a difference in their lives, and I made their life better than it was when they called me.
Exactly. And that's you know, at the end of the day, that's all we want, too. I want little kids to be able to sleep in their bed without, you know, something creeping out of the closet at them, whatever. You know, that's my thing. I want to help people. This is how I do that, you know. And I don't know where I'm at. People say, what do you do? And I say, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator. I'm a demonologist. Oh, you're one of those. Like I have leprosy. So, I mean, it's just small towns, you know. If they don't want it, they'll throw you out for it. But, yeah, I'm one of those, you know. And they just kind of walk away like, oh, my God.
You're not the only one. It happens here in Texas, too, with us being in a small town area. Though, especially being in the Bible Belt region of Texas, they, you know, they'll kind of roll their eyes, and I'm like, oh. When they say that, and they roll their eyes, I look at them and go, oh, so you're one of those.
Give it back to them. Why not? Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're one of those non-believers that, you know, and, you know, I've had clients that are real, you know, they go to church on a regular basis, this, that, and other, and they're real religious, and that's fine. I don't have anything against religion because I'm religious myself. I just don't go to a church to be religious, and you don't have to be. Because I'm not going
to
have
a –
I don't want a minister or pastor basically using the Bible and enforcing their beliefs, their personal beliefs, onto me. If I want to know beliefs, I'll read the Bible for myself and I'll interpret it my way, you know. And everybody needs to realize that. So, because a lot of times with the community – people are in a habit of, well, if I go to church on Sunday every week, then I'm in good with God. And that's not the case. Just because you're going through the motions does not mean that you're any better than anybody else. It's about if you have, you know, whoever you worship in your heart and you have good intentions, then, you know, that's when you're good. And people don't realize that, and they try to put their beliefs. And I've had to go toe-to-toe with a couple clients and quote things from the Bible and tell them to look things up. And then when they do, they're like, whoa, I never thought of that. Or I didn't actually pay attention to what this scripture was actually saying. And I'm like, there you go, you know. So, you know, it's a constant battle.
Well,
but the community is, the actual people in the world, they're starting to open up a little bit more, because I will say I do have people now when I, you know, if I'm wearing my shirt or I say I'm a paranormal investigator, they'll go, oh, really? Well, let me tell you about something that happened to me. And then they'll go into those stories.
Do you ever just kind of tune out a little bit? I mean, paying attention, but kind of tune out. Do you ever hear it a lot?
Yes, you know. But, you know, you didn't have that even a couple years ago. It was very rare. And it's getting more open. But at the same time, there's the bad side of it. And the bad side of it is Hollywood and the entertainment community focus on fear, right? They focus on what we can scare the hell out of people that are watching, and that gets people to watch. And that's great. That's great for ratings and box office and whatnot. But they focus on the demonic. That's their little – I mean, how many movies have come out over the last couple years about demonic and demonic possession, you know? TV, oh, you got a demon in your house, you know? And then – you got all these teams that mimic what they see. Their knowledge, and I hate it, their knowledge is based on what they see on television with the paranormal shows. And I try to tell them,
can't
base your knowledge on what you see on television. They're there for ratings. They're there for viewers. They're not there for education. Now, some shows, I will say, try to educate a little bit more than others. But, it is what it is. And you got teens that are inexperienced going to a home. They investigate and they say, you got a demon in your house. Then they walk out and they leave the client high and dry. Come across that a few times, you know. And yeah. I've had to go in and clean up the mess, and it wasn't even a demonic that was there. But they based everything on what they saw on television, you know. So, and then, like you said, you got clients calling you, and the first thing out of their mouth is, I got a demon in my house. Why do you know that? Well, because this, and this. And I say, whoa. First off, you don't know what's in your house. Second off, I don't know what's in your house right now at this point. Third off, you keep saying that word and talking about it. That's a form of invite, and you're going to have one in your home. You ask and you shall receive.
That's right. Careful what you wish for, you know. Yeah. I don't know. Another thing, too, is what they learn off of TV is go to these places and start calling stuff out. And, well, if you're going to do it to them, do it to me. Okay, well, you know, treat the dead like they're living. If you walked into my house and did that, I'd punch you in the mouth. So what do you think a spirit's going to do?
Right. Now, I do have some friends that I don't, but one of my radio show hosts on my Tuesday show, she provokes. But the reason she does is because she doesn't go do this at clients' homes or anything like that. She handpicks a location where the spirit's there, the history of the building, I should say, the history of the location has some really mean men in its past, right, and are claimed to be haunting the place. So she goes in as a strong woman and talks to that individual spirit, you know, in a provoking way, and she gets results because these spirits, when they were alive, females' roles were not to be like that. You know what I'm saying? So she does that, and she gets results. But I'm not going to knock her because that's her thing. Everybody's got to stop. But I will say, she knows the risk. She knows it's dangerous. I never tell anybody to go in a building and provoke, right? There are ways to provoke without being disrespectful. There are ways to get reactions without cussing them out nine times out. Then, you know, because like you said, if you walked in my house and started cussing me out, something's going down, and it's not going to be me.
That's right. Oh, yeah. So, game on, man.
It's all based on the situation, but if you base, because Jeff and myself were part of a team before we broke off and I started this one. We were part of a team. We called our founder Paranormal Hitler because it was his way or the highway, and all he wanted to do was go into a location and gather as much evidence as he could so he could be on TV, and he provoked the entire time. And that's how I got thrown out of that room. Because I was part of that team that was provoking, and it not only threw me, it threw two other members. We all hit the floor at the same time. Jeff was the only one still standing. And, that was an eye-opener. Talk shit, and Spirit decided, okay, get the hell out of this room. Boom. Threw us all out of there. So, you know, you ask what you get. You talk shit, they're going to do something back to you. And it did. And I was like, whoa. So, you know,
you're like, I didn't see that coming.
You know, and this Tuesday I'm going to have Jay Wosley on the radio show, Terrify Radio, and he's part of Ghost Adventures. He's the sound guy with Billy Tolley on the shows now, and Jay's a good friend of mine, and he was on a year ago, and I talked to him, and we'll talk about it again Tuesday. Even Zach, Nick, and Aaron have kind of changed their ways after when they first got into it and they were running and gunning and talking smack to every spirit they could come across to get evidence. And lo and behold, they had some demonics affect our personal lives. And I even read Zach's book. He's had his house exercised 3 times. And they're a little bit more humble when you watch them on the show now. They don't, especially Aaron and Nick, they're like, dude, no, we ain't doing that, you know? So when you start...
Well, that's it, you know, and I know that, like, Nick's wife told him straight up, you know, I don't want you going back there because I guess whatever, I don't even remember how that went down, but it knew her name and all about their family, and they know these things, and they will do the damage, so I'm glad they're toning it down. It's not that I don't like the guys, I do. You know, I think that it's cool, whatever, but people look up to them like they are just all-knowing gods, and it just irritates me sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you on that, yeah. But it's because of the fact that, you know, when you're on television, you're put in the limelight, and people will mimic what you do. And it's not necessarily paranormal. It could be a movie star, a singer, you know, whatever it might be. If you're a public figure, people will go out and try to do what you do, think it's all right. And when you're dealing with the paranormal, it's a little bit different, and it's highly dangerous. And, you know, for people that are rolling their eyes on that comment, trust me, it is dangerous. And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, go try it and then see. When shit goes down, you'll probably be giving me a call to come help you. You know?
That's right. You know, and it may not be the first time. It may wait a while, but it will happen.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things. I had a question, and now it just went out of my head. Let me think. Now, to go back on what you said earlier, because I'm in the same boat you are as far as if you get a case, even if they call you up and it's some type of demonic case, you mentioned it earlier that you'll reach out to other people. That's the way I am in my doing nowadays. I don't try to solve every case by myself. I got a lot of good people that I'm friends with in the field. Some of them have been in it longer than me. And I'll call them, get advice. Sometimes they'll call the client, get some more information for me. You know, I reach out. I'm not stubborn and go, well, I'm going to solve this case myself, you know, try to be the hero. And you do that as well, right? You call to, you know, whoever you need to call to get help if need be.
Well, you know, exactly. And there is not enough hours in the day for me to be able to solve every fire that gets started. I can't do that. So if somebody, I think it was last week, I had 3 cases come in 1 day that they were having some serious problems, and of course it's nowhere local to me, but I was able to find appropriate teams in their area to go in and handle it. I felt good about that. And that's, you know, everybody starts talking smack about para-unity and all that. They're like, oh, that can't happen. Well, you know, that's what para-unity is to me. Work together to help people and put your ego and all that aside. That's all it is.
Right. And there's definitely a lot of teams out there that believe the same thing in working together for the greater good. You know, there's a lot of bad apples out there, too. So when people go, well, there's no way there can be para-unity. There can be para-unity. It's just not going to exist straight across the board with every single paranormal investigator team out there. The para-unity has to happen within each state. The people that agree on the same wavelength, they all work together. There's your para-unity. We're never going to have it across the board with every freaking investigator out there. But us as individuals that believe in the para-unity, we can take the right steps in making friends with the right people and going about it that way. And there is a lot of unity out there. It's just, it's not across the board, you know. And that's why people go, well, there's no way parareuti can happen. It can happen. It's just not going to be, you know, large scale like that.
Well, no, it's not going to happen overnight. It may not happen in my lifetime, but I can still, you know, strive for it and talk to other people that are like-minded. You know, and that's awesome. We can talk about things. We can all get along, not fight, not squabble. That's awesome, because the less drama, the better. I hate drama.
Yeah, you and me both. I got a bachelor's degree in theater, so the only drama I like is on the stage, not off the stage.
There you go.
So, but yeah, you know, and there's a lot of good people. I have been truly blessed that everybody that I've had on my radio shows are good people, and you know, try to make a difference in what they do, and that's a good thing. You know, I haven't had to hang up on any guest yet. You know.
Well, I could give you some names of people that you would want to hang up on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But, no, I don't know. But I actually have a question for you.
Sure.
What do you think of this, worst paranormal reporting group? What do you think about that?
What is it?
It's called Worst Paranormal. Like, you can... or rip-off report, whatever they're doing. You can write these reports about teams and the bad stuff they do and all that, and the only way to get your name off there is to pay for it.
What? I've kind of heard
I'm not even joking.
Wow.
They
make a list, and you have to pay them to get your name off of it?
Yeah, there's one site, I believe it is Ripoff Report, that they can file all this stuff about you, but the only way to get your name off of there, you could provide evidence that you didn't do it, and you'd still have to pay them to take it off of there. You know, it's stupid. It's so stupid.
Wow. Well, for the people that do that, let me tell you this. In the cases I've handled in the past, and I jokingly say this, but I'm probably on Satan's shit list of people that they want to torment because of all the good that I try to help with people. So being on Satan's shit list is a lot worse than being on your website. So there you go. You know?
Well, there you go. You know, and pretty much you just have to be like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You believe that? Cool, whatever. It's on you. I don't know. I don't believe anything I read on the internet. It's pretty much just, yeah.
God, if I was a bad person, I want to make money. I would be. I would have the best paranormal teams in the country, and you'd have to pay me to even have your name on it.
Hey, there you go. Hey.
You know, if I was in it for the money, that's how I do it. Pay me, and I will call you one of the best paranormal teams in the country.
Well, hey, you pay me, I'll say anything you know you want me to about you. You know, hey, pay me. Cool.
That's all. Oh,
hey,
my God. Yeah, it's nutty how people do that, and you know, I don't know what to tell those folks, but yeah, you know, and I recently added a because I'm the owner of this network. It just started with this show. Jeff and I were talking at the beginning of the show. It'll be 3 years in April that him and I started this radio show, and you know, I decided over the years to start adding shows because I wanted kind of like a network where people could tune in and every night they would get a different style, different host, different type of show. And we just added a show for Saturday nights, because Saturday's a hard night to fill because that's when paranormal teams are investigating. But I got a group of guys that are investigators in different states that started this group that they call. And basically what they do, and they've got a lot of flack for it, but you know, they said, hey, we got a lot of controversy going on. We get a lot of hate mail. And I said, hey, come on our network and start a show. That's fine with me. And the only reason it is because, like you said earlier, with people posting stuff on the net, you know, evidence, what they do is they try to debunk it. And, you know, not everything that they've come across they can debunk. And if they can't debunk it, they recognize that team for coming up with good evidence, right? But in the same sense, they debunk all the crap that's out there. And, of course, people don't like that when their stuff's debunked, you know. But, hey, you're going to put it out there for all the public, then you got to take the scrutiny of it, you know. And if it's not real evidence, then why did you post it, you know. So I let those guys do their thing, and it's working pretty good, you know. There are a lot of people that
I commend them for that because, you know, I'm pretty sure you've seen one too many orb pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I do agree that most of them are not paranormal, but, yeah, maybe a couple here and there, but dang, every day, orb this, orb that, I'm about ready to puke if I hear orb one more time.
Oh. The only way I might even consider an orb a piece of evidence is if it's tied in with other pieces of evidence that happened simultaneously when it appeared.
Exactly.
I had an investigator get scratched. Well, prior, I was taking photographs around her, and the photograph I snapped right before she was scratched, there was an orb on her neck in the exact spot where she was scratched. So I tie that as that could possibly be a spirit scratching her, right? Not saying still to this day
right.
that that's actual evidence, but it's not coincidence that it's happened. You know, it's cool, you know, paranormal experience type stuff. But, you know, if an orb flies by somebody, and we've had this, in fact, it was Jeff. Jeff was typing on his computer, and an orb flew right on his head, and then he kind of, you know, swatted up at his head like he thought a fly or something had hit on him, but it was a spirit. We had told the spirit to go touch his head, and it did it, and then he reacted to it, and we caught it on film. So that's pretty compelling. That's cool. But snapshots, no. Photographs are really hard to really capture evidence. I have one it's the actual photograph of my Facebook page, and that's an actual spirit that we caught. And I have EVPs that coincide with that photograph. I have video of this mist moving around this crowd of people prior to this photograph being snapped. So, hey, to me, I think it's an apparition.
You have corroboration with those pictures. Exactly.
Exactly. I have more than what that photograph, just that photograph. I have lots of things. So, you know, to me, it's an apparition. And I've had a lot of people look at it and go, holy shit, it's a ghost. But, you know, but there's people out there they'll submit pictures of a mist, right? And I'll say, and they're outside. And the first thing I ask, what was the temperature outside? Well, it was really cold. Did your breath freeze? Yeah. That's probably your breath. Did you hold your breath when you took your picture? No. Well, there you go. That's what
you're
getting.
There's your mist.
There's your mist. You know, so, but, yeah, those guys do that, and they try to do it in a respectful way, but a lot of people take it out of context, and they're like, well, they hate the paranormal. No, they're paranormal investigators themselves. They're just tired of seeing the crap that's being put out there. And they're trying to educate people on you know, putting bad evidence out there. So I commend them for that.
I commend them for that. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't. And if people get butthurt if they debunk their stuff, that's on them. You know, quit filling the internet with junk so that, you know, the rest of us have to deal with it too.
Well, ultimately, and you know this, you know, any bad apple in the paranormal field, it gives us all a black eye as investigators when something stupid happens in the field. We all feel the rampage of it, you know, because we're associated with the field. So it's just what it is, but, you know, we just all keep doing what we're doing. I'm to the point in my paranormal career, I guess you could say, that I know that spirits exist. I know that that when we die on this earth, that it's not over. You know, we just go into a different form, into a different dimension, and we still exist. Our personalities still stay the same, you know, the whole nine yards. I know all this. And, my thing now is to come up with new ideas of how paranormal activity happens, what here on Earth affects paranormal activity. I get so tired. I cringed the other night when I watched a show, and it's probably the oldest show that's on television, if that gives you a hint of who it is. But they were talking about limestone in the foundation of the building. And I'm like, damn it, I'm getting tired of hearing about limestone. I want to see some damn experiments using limestone to tell me, in fact, this is why paranormal activity happens in these buildings that are made of limestone. They just tell me, oh, it's made of limestone, so it's going to help with the paranormal activity. Okay, where's the experiments? I want the experiments, damn it. You know? Let's do some experiments and let's
exactly,
see what we do.
Exactly. They say that certain, you know, things hold energy. You know, I understand that. And a lot of teams I've seen now, if the place is by a stream or a body of water, then that's actually a conductor as well. Okay, I understand all that. But I need to see how they came up with that conclusion too.
Exactly. That's why I'm going to try to do, and I've done that on an investigation where I set up a perimeter. I took all my little technology toys, and I put them in a perimeter around a elemental, which in one location, of course, I can't start a fire, but I found a way around it. I lit a candle. There's my fire. And I put the fire in the middle, and I had all the piece of equipment monitoring the environment, and I did an EVP session and tried to get the spirit to try to manipulate that fire. Because Native Americans were very spiritual people long time ago, and still today for the ones that are Native American. But back then, they didn't have any kind of technology. They had what God put on this earth, fire, water, you know, the earth itself, those type of elementals, and they were highly spiritual people. So I'm kind of taking what technology we have now and kind of backtracking and see if I can come up with some pretty cool results involving elementals. I do want to test water. I want to know why it conducts or helps with paranormal activity. I've heard in some cases where a spirit won't cross water. Well, why is that? Why won't they cross the water? What does water do that's keeping that spirit from crossing? So,
were afraid of water. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. So that's where I am in my thinking now. It's not necessarily going out and trying to get the latest greatest ghost pictures or EVPs or any of that. I'm to the point now. I want to try to come up with some information that, after repeated experiments, I can legitimately say, okay, well, you can't really say legitimately. I should backtrack because there's no experts in the field, and I can just say this. If I get some really cool results, I can share with other teams and maybe have them do the same experiments and see if they get the same results, then we might be on to something, and that's what it's about in the field, I believe.
Well, everything starts with a theory, and that's, you know, it's good to think like that. I want to do that, too. I don't understand science, period. I am not the technical science person, but mm-hmm. I can pretty much figure out basic things. So, like you said, go back to the basics. You know, so most of these things that we encounter, they don't know how to manipulate a flashlight. They don't know what the hell you're talking about, you know. Some of them, they're like, what's a flashlight? And I can understand that. Meters, it would probably scare them. I would think you come in there with all this high-tech stuff and saying do something, yeah, they're going to run. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I am not a fan at all of the flashlight test that has been shown on TV.
I think it's too easy to manipulate, you know, with vibration and stuff like that. That's what I think. But
well, in the fact that the flashlight is used on one show, and they use it just about every location, and every location they get results. I have a hard time believing, and it's like instantaneous responses too. I've seen it where they've had three flashlights, and they'll go, okay, the one on the left is yes. Now you tell me which one of the other two you want is no, and it'll light up. Okay, and then they start asking questions. They'll ask a question, and not 2 seconds, the flashlight goes off. It comes on, and I'm just like, okay, this is either they're onto something, or they got some really powerful spirits, because that takes that spirit a lot of energy to do that kind of stuff, and they're just getting result after result after result at every location, and I'm just like, something's not right. You know, there's just a red flag popping in my head going, that's not the way the paranormal activity that I know, the spirits that I've dealt with, do. Even when you use a K2 meter, and, you know, it's hard. It's really hard with a K2 meter to say whether or not it's a spirit. That's why I have to me, when I think I'm talking to a spirit, I have to repeat the question a lot of times. I really test that spirit to make sure it's a spirit I'm talking to, you know. And a lot of times when you're even doing that, it's not just a quick, you know, are you a male? Yes or no? And boom, you get a result. Sometimes it's several seconds before that thing goes off. It's not all instantaneous responses. These spirits don't work that way. And to be shown on a show where it does that, I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense to me, you know?
Well, there again, you know, the shows are teaching the ghost hunters on how things work, and it doesn't work that way.
Question. We talked about this earlier. Marion in the chat room asked, when you investigate places, do you provoke entities or just watch if something happens? Well, we talked about this earlier. There's ways to provoke with not actually provoking. I've done that. I call it being a smartass. You know? I've heard all the money. I'll just say, like, well, I've heard all the claims that you do this or you do that. So if you really are here, will you do that? You know, those kind of things. You say it like that, you're not provoking, but at the same sense you are, and you're still being kind of respectful. You're not dissing that spirit. You know, you're just asking for proof. You know? Oh, I heard you slam that door. I don't think you'll do it. Bam, it happens. Oh, okay. Yeah, you are there, you know? But running and gunning and cussing and carrying on and acting a fool, no. Don't do that.
Well, there you go, you know.
Yeah, but like I said earlier, everybody has their own style, and if you do provoke, that's fine. Just know that you're putting yourself and your team at risk, and if you do that, then protect yourselves, and don't put a client in danger. Don't be provoking in homes, because you don't live there. and you have to leave at some point, and you're leaving those people there after you just talk smack to a spirit. So keep that in mind.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you know, because you leave, you get called up, you know, hey, you guys were in here talking trash, and, you know, it just kicked my butt. Then what are you going to do? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Don't put your clients at risk because it is dangerous. They say, you know, all spirits can't kill you. Well, they can do enough where they can influence you. And especially when you're dealing with the inhuman kind, they can wear you down to the point that you want to take your own life. Seen it many times. It happens. So in a sense, yes, they can kill you, but they can't do it themselves. They have to either affect your health or talk you into it, basically. So it is dangerous, you know, and just be safe out there is all I got. We're down to the last 3 minutes of the show, Julie, so if you want to throw out your website or anything that anybody can contact you or read more about you and your team.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on Twitter. That's a recent thing, but I'm on there. It's at LC Ghost Hunter. Also, you can hit me on Facebook. It's Julianne Schneider, or my team page is Lewis and Clarkson Paranormal Research Society on Facebook.
Sweet. Well, thanks, Julie, for coming on the show. I hope you enjoyed it tonight.
I really did. I really did. Thank you.
Hey, not a problem. And I will be talking to you again next month because you're coming on my other show on Tuesday night in March.
I am.
So you'll get to meet my friend Jody, and she's a hoot. You'll probably laugh your ass off because she says just about anything. It, you know, she doesn't filter what comes out of her mouth when it comes to, you know, just talking.
She's just like me. I'm just trying to be good.
Oh, well, that's fine. But on that show, you don't have to because I rated it. It's rated R because my co-host, Jody, has a potty mouth, and I do too. But it's pretty much just talk about anything and everything and just have a good time. So you'll probably enjoy it quite well if you're like that too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can cuss the best of them, so that'll be great.
Well, you won't have to worry about being good. You can just be yourself. That's another reason like I like that show. It's a little bit different from this show and you don't really have to filter anything.
Right on. Well, I look forward to talking to you then too.
All right. Well, you have a great evening, and we'll talk to you again.
All right. You too, hon.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Jeff. Oh, Jeffy Poo. I think Jeff fell asleep on me. That would be a first on the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight. I appreciate everybody listening. To you that were in the chat room, thank you for your questions and tuning in. Next week on the show, let me look at my little calendar here. We have Amy Jo. She's a.k.a. the Ghost Box Chick, and we're going to have her on the show next Sunday. Like I said, tomorrow is freaking awesome paranormal show, FAPS as they call it. And Tuesday on Terrify with myself and Jody, we will have on Tuesday we will have Jay Wadsley from Ghost Adventures. So tune in for that show. And everybody have a good night. Thanks, everybody.